Working in our life and never leaving us nor forsaking us.
Yeah.
Always there. I thank God for that tonight. I appreciate the blood. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that there's still power, wonder, working power.
Amen.
In the blood.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to be looking in the book of Romans tonight, chapter 3. And I'll also be flipping over in the book of Chronicles tonight. Romans chapter 3. And then in the book of... let me find that again over here. It was in 1 Chronicles 28 tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and book of Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter 3 and then in the book of Chronicles chapter number 28. We'll begin reading first in the book of Chronicles. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll read the book of Romans first, then we'll read Chronicles, and then we'll ask the Lord to help us in the service tonight. Romans chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the book of Romans is the pinnacle or the summit of the book. Anything prior to this builds up to this point. Anything after this is a reflection all of what God has done on the cross.
Amen.
I thank God for the cross tonight, don't you?
Amen. Sure.
Look at Romans 3 tonight, and we'll begin reading in verse number 23. The Bible says, "For all have sinned." Puts everybody in the same category. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What a wonderful truth tonight to ponder on. And we'll look here as a connection tonight in the book of Chronicles, chapter 28. David is on his deathbed. He's giving charge to Solomon, his son, who will build the house of God. And he says this, he says, "Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch," verse 11, "and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. And all the pattern, and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers round about of the treasuries, a treasure of the house of God, and the treasuries of the dedicated things." He encourages his son in verse 10 and says, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." I'd like to preach tonight a little bit on the mercies of God and looking at the mercy seat in light and lieu of the cross, and talk to us about the best seat in the house. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us tonight once again. Lord, I realize, God, once again my inability. Thank you, Lord, for your perfect timing tonight, God, and how you've orchestrated everything. Lord, I do look to you now for help and direction in this place. Thank you for the believers that's come out tonight, God, your body that's represented here. Lord, I pray you'd help them tonight, God. Help us to have a fresh look at Calvary, a fresh glimpse of you, Lord, tonight. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for, Lord, the blessings. Thank you, God, for life. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, God. Thank you most of all, Lord, for the cross, God. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for that tonight. I pray, God, for this dear pastor and his wife, that you touch them tonight in a special way. We've sensed their tiredness, God. Please renew them, I pray, in this service. I pray, God, for specifically you deal with sinners accordingly. And most of all, Lord, manifest yourself to us. Lord, I confess again my inability. And I ask, Lord, please, that you would, Lord, move through us tonight. Guide my mind through the Scripture, Lord. Help us to be, Lord, pliable in thy hands, God. Fill my heart with your words tonight, God. And Lord, I pray you would help us to preach tonight, God, to honor and glorify your holy name. Uplift Christ above everything, Lord. Forgive us of our pride, our sin, our faults, and our failures, God, as we look into you now, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Thank you for praying. You can be seated tonight. Paul, in his writing to the book of the believers in Rome, is another example of an epistle written to a people which he never had met, like it was this morning in the book of Colossae. And in this, he has gone through and reiterated over and over again that those that are saved are justified by faith, the faith in which God gives at salvation, the gift of God that we receive to believe in Himself. So now then, we come to this great summit in the book of Romans. Some have said it is Paul's masterpiece. Nonetheless, it was inspired by the Holy Ghost,
yes.
And I thank God for that.
Amen.
He puts it clear in that all have sinned, comma, and come short of the glory of God. And so those that have done their best, those Pharisees that had put on the show, that had done their utmost to keep the law of God, they still fell short of the glory of God.
Yes, right.
And so I thank God for verses like that in truth that helps point all of the gratitude, all of the credit goes to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For there's nothing that we could do tonight. Amen. On our most powerful day, we still need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As our works as sinners trying to produce something to gain God's attention, at its very best, is nothing but filthy rags,
right,
according to the Word of God.
Sure.
And so what a wonderful thing it is to ponder that God has purpose and plan for each and every one of us tonight. And even in this portion of Scripture, when he is beginning to speak about the justification of God, he uses several different doctrinal words here: justified, propitiation, redemption, remission.
Amen.
And he speaks about the forbearance of God. And I'm amazed at how all of this is in lieu of, in light of, a plan in which God has. Each time that the Apostle Paul talks about his own testimony, his own experience with God, by the way, salvation is an experience with God.
Amen.
That's more than a prayer you've repeated somewhere. It is an experience with God.
Amen.
And so each time, whether he's in front of Agrippa or Felix or a Roman ruler, every time that he is able to recite his testimony,
yes,
under the inspiration and the power of God, God gets bigger and Paul gets littler.
That's right.
Every time he reiterates his salvation experience, it's a showing that he is, even in his apostleship, is maturing in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing to reflect back and know that I'm not at the same place where God found me.
Amen.
That He in His Spirit is that inner teacher,
yes,
and is teaching me, maturing me,
yes,
along the way.
Amen.
And so when Paul testified the first time, he said, I saw a light shine out of heaven, and a voice from heaven spoke to me, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then the very next time he gives reference to his testimony, he says, I saw a great light shining out of heaven, and I fell on my face. The third time of his recorded testimony, he said, I saw a light that outshine the noonday sun.
Amen.
And so every time he mentions God as he's maturing in faith, God is a whole lot bigger and Paul is a whole lot littler. And so I thank God tonight as we mature and move on into maturity, as he says in Hebrews chapter 6, leaving therefore the principles and doctrines of Christ, let us move on to maturity. Let us move on to perfection.
Yeah.
In other words, there is a growth in the life, in the heart of a child of God.
Yes.
We're going somewhere.
Sure.
According to Romans chapter 8, we've been predestinated.
Yes.
Being, that means our destination has been predetermined.
Yes.
Oh, every child of God, when God saves you, he puts you on a course that the end result is you are conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen.
God uses all things. What he said there, all things work together, whether it is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
Everything is working together, conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
And so I thank God through storms, through trials, even through failure, whatever God has ordered, whatever He's issued for you, the end result is based on His foreknowledge, and the outcome is that you come forth as in the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
Peter was one who looked at God and said, I'll never leave you. I'll be with you to the end. I'll be there, Lord. And the Lord says, no, sir, you're going to deny me. Satan had desire to sift you as wheat.
Sure.
And he said, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. And so if the same God can speak and the wind obeys his voice, the same God can speak and the waves lay down at His command. It looks to me like when He tells Peter, you're going to fail me, Peter is going to fail God. It's not based on whether he's been obedient or disobedient. It's based on the outcome. God knows what the failure will produce in the life of Peter. God sees way in advance and sees a powerful preacher preaching on Pentecost, and some 3,000 are swept in the kingdom of God. And God uses and needs a broken man. So in a sense, he is still in control, and somehow in all that is using all things, conforming Peter to a bold, broken preacher to boldly stand forth and declare the gospel.
Yes.
And thank God for that tonight. Isn't that a blessing to know that when things happen in our life, when things are troubled, when we're all upside down, that yet we know we can rest assured that God's in control, that we know that God has something better, a design, better purpose for us than we can possibly imagine or think of our own strength and power. Aren't you glad that when God, according to the book of Matthew, again this morning, when God brought that house down, that God had a plan? That when God sent the storm in, He had a plan, and that plan didn't change whatsoever. Sometimes we have this understanding that there's a battle in heaven. That some days the devil's winning, some days God's winning. I want to go ahead and set the record straight that there is no such thing in the Word of God. The devil does exactly what God allows and permits him to do. God is in control. God sits high on His throne. There, He is supremely set in charge over all things. I firmly believe that every particle in this building we can't see the naked eye is doing exactly what God wants it to do. Thank God. And I appreciate the Lord working in that way. You remember it was Job. There he was, serving God faithfully, a righteous man. It was God that said, hello, Satan, what you doing today? I'm just wandering to and fro, going backwards and forwards upon the earth. And he says, hast thou considered my servant Job? Have you even considered this fellow over here? And then the devil says, well, you've got your hedge about him. And he says, well, I'll lower my hedge. And so you understand all of Job's difficulty, all of Job's trials, all of Job's suffering, all begins and starts with the mind of God.
Yeah,
that amazing to ponder on?
Yes, sir.
God is an amazing God.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, He said, "Oh, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works."